Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, while doing some ministry, I had finished with one lady that received the spoken word and some financial help, and we hugged, and as soon as we both turned to leave, another lady nearby named Miss Catherine, you'll see her picture on this post on safeguardyoursoul.com on this Mexico mission update. And anyway, Catherine said to us both with great joy, she had overheard us talking about the Lord, and she said, "We need to talk more about the Lord, that's for sure." She was excited, and that it was immediately made known to me that this was a divine connection. So I went and sat down with Catherine and had a very long talk with her. And the conversation that ensued revealed that Catherine, a beloved lady, elder lady, had a mental ascent and a love for Jesus in her mind, but she had never had the opportunity, apparently, to stop her life and repent and receive Christ. And upon being asked if she would go to heaven if she died today, she did not know. And I said, "Well, God wants you to know." And I ministered 1 John 5:10-13 to this beloved lady. And it says this, saints, it says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." That's the record of Scripture. "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life," or eternal life. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," not hope, think, or wonder, but "know that you know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." I mean, you're rarely going to find a woman or a person at all that is this ready to be saved as Catherine was, and she agreed to pray in repentance to the Lord. And as usual, I like to make it known that I'm going to lead you in this prayer, Catherine, I said, but you're not praying to anybody but God, and he's listening. As you repent and you receive Christ and he washes away all your sins, are you ready to pray with everything that is in you? And immediately, of course, she said, "Yes, I am, I am." Anyway, this beloved woman was elated now after she prayed in repentance and received Christ. She was overjoyed to be saved and forgiven by the blood of Christ. And you could see the love, joy, and peace breaking out on her face right away, instantly. And so I want to thank you, if you will, for lifting our sister in prayer. Now, she's already received the Born Again book in Spanish and also the Moments with our Master book in Spanish. And we are going to talk in 2 days. I sent her text messages, so we're connected, as are dozens of people down here in Mexico that have received ministry. And they receive more ministry from the Word every week at least one time. So we're overjoyed with that. And in this message, I just want to talk to you from my heart concerning the need for missionaries in Mexico. Jesus talked about the fields being white unto harvest already. He said in John 4:34-38, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat," or my whole life, "is to do the will of him," that's the Father, "that sent me, and to finish his work." And that's what every true disciple is doing. They're all about the Father's business, because he has saved and sent them. Now, somebody might say, "Wow, I don't know many professing Christians that are about the Great Commission." Well, that only underscores what Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, that only a few are going to enter in. Remember, in that same chapter, a few verses later, our Lord said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And his will, as is stated at the end of each of the four Gospels, is for us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, somebody might say, "That's pretty extreme." Well, that's what the Bible says. If you can show me that what I'm reading and quoting from the Bible, that it's not there, then we can talk about it. Otherwise, why don't we just stop and repent and truly hand our lives over to the Lord like Isaiah did in Isaiah 6 when he said, Lord, here I am, send me. And when he prayed that, there was a purging and a preparation that happened. When Isaiah's commission came from the Lord, he said, here am I, send me, Isaiah 6:8. And notice, send me. So obviously he was going to go away from the place he was when he prayed, whether that be in the same town, the same state, the same country, or however that plays out in each of our lives, we're going to be sent to go. And he says in verse 9, and he said, the Lord said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, and perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. And so he had a special calling, but nevertheless, Isaiah cried out to the Lord. And that's what I want to invite you to do, encourage you to do, beloved. Every one of us should do it. I know that even years before, and especially leading up to the time when God sent me here to Mexico, I was praying, Lord, wherever you want me on your planet, put my feet and my hands and my heart and life. It's your life, not mine. And I'm asking you to take all of me and to use me for your glory wherever you want. And then the day came and many of you were praying with me and your support made it possible. And there was that day when I was to go down south into the nation of Mexico. Let me tell you, what an amazing place to be. Not only is it beautiful here with the Spanish colonial architecture and the amazing food, but the people are absolutely amazing. Once you minister in Mexico, I warned you, you might just get very, very spoiled at all the yeses, because it's about 99% yes. I want this Jesus track. Had a guy, and this happens often down here, he received ministry and he sent me a message back. He said, I want to know more about Jesus in the Bible. Please help me. And so he's in the process of receiving the Word of God. He did immediately, and he's continuing to receive it. And that's often that I hear that from people. I want to know about the Lord.
That is exactly what several of them have said to me.
That's pretty different than the responses we get in America, because everybody supposedly knows the Lord or has some kind of a story one way or the other, most of which are not saved, clearly. I got to just talk as a man here and say, I wonder if God would have as many Christians in one country that borders another, and that other country, in this case it's Mexico, is completely void of evangelists. I'm just going to come right out and say it, that I know Mexico needs missionaries. What is a missionary? A disciple of Jesus that just says like Isaiah, Lord, here I am, send me. You go to where he sends you and you get gospel tracts in that language. And we got that already set up for you, by the way. And we'll probably buy your first batch. The ministry will. The body of Christ. And one of the ways I find probably as many tracts as we passed out. We've already passed out 4,500 tracts here in the last year and 4 months. And we are picking up yet another batch this week from the printer. In fact, we did that a couple of weeks ago, and I'm giving those tracts out, those supplies, to other disciples down here, and they're passing them out. So things are beginning to multiply. There's momentum beginning to happen. And when you come down here and you drive through, I have my vehicle, and so when I'm driving somewhere, it's a constant thing where I have the Jesus track in Spanish, stack of them right there, ready to go. And you go real slow through these beautiful streets, and people walk right up to your vehicle all the time. And I cannot tell you how many tracts I've passed out when I was driving. Absolutely amazing. And everybody says, thank you. I speak the word to them, depending on the situation and how much time I have.
They have the word of God spoken to them.
Give them that Jesus tract and utter the word of God in Spanish. And if that's all you did down here, you would be hitting home runs every time you got in that car. And if you're husband and wife, there's no telling how much better that would be. But everybody is so eager to receive the message. And right on the front of the track, it says, Jesus, why did this man die on a cross? In Spanish. And you'd have to see it to believe it. Everybody wants one. The fruitfulness that you could enjoy,
for that matter, anywhere in Latin America,
in these fields which are white on the harvest, as Jesus spoke about in John 4,
is definitely quite amazing.
Let's read this. John 4, 34 through 38, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work.
And he has specifically given us his work to finish, even the Great Commission.
You know, I want to ask you, are you living to fulfill the will of him that saved and sent you? Might you want to go before the Lord today and in fresh repentance and settle down before him and just lift your heart and hand and say, Lord, just do your work in and through me, Lord, and send me where you want me to be, where I can be of the most use for your eternal glory. Lord, help me to lead others to you. Lord, make a consummate soul winner out of me in the name of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, God is going to provide every single thing you need if he's sending you somewhere. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. So to be praying that God uses you in his great commission in evangelizing the lost is the wisdom of God. Again, Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. And the main thing we're doing is we're sowing seed, as this passage is going to talk about here. Notice, say not ye, verse 35, John 4, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. That does not need a whole lot of explanation. I want you to read and pour over this passage, as well as the Isaiah commission and call in Isaiah 6. But this is John 4, 34 through 38. And Jesus says, do not put off evangelizing here. Don't say, well, the harvest is going to come in a few months. So you're putting it off. That's what he's talking about. It's an agricultural illustration of winning people to him. He says, now lift up your eyes and look on the fields. And when cotton's ready to pick, it's all, the fields are full of white, for they are white already to harvest. I've never been anywhere that the fields are so white unto harvest as it is here. The people absolutely delightfully receive the word of God. And
we simply pray and ask God, fill you with his spirit daily and let the love, joy, and peace, the three dimensions, the first dimensions of the fruit of the spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, fill your life.
And so you're going to have the joy of the Lord, the love, joy, and peace all over your life. And so that even makes them want to more find out what you're telling them about Jesus, because they see something in you they don't have. Nobody around them has it, but they want it. Just passing out the track and telling them Jesus loves you, or Jesus died for your sins. Cristo murió por nuestros pecados, mi amigo. And I mean, you just say it with love and joy. They're captivated. Even if you just smiled and gave it to them,
they will say gracias, or thank you. They are so very appreciative. It cannot possibly be explained
how amazing it is. It's like you just, all of a sudden, this huge ministry thing breaks out like today. Numerous people were ministered to when Catherine was saved by Christ. Absolutely amazing. It's a field day, saints, inasmuch as you pray and want it to be and walk it out. So then Jesus said in John 4, 36, and he that reapeth, that is, sows and reaps the word, and people get saved, and he that reapeth receiveth wages. He's talking about eternal rewards again. Everybody's rewards aren't going to be the same. Have you noticed? Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt.
Neither do thieves break through and steal.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I wonder when we're going to drop chasing the trinkets.
Wasting our lives, wasting precious moments and treasures in this life, while eternal lost souls remain unreached with Christ's gospel.
We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Most Americans who claim to be Christian are living a wasted life. They just go from one thrill to the next, and they're dissatisfied with it all. They never have satisfaction, as Isaiah 55 speaks about when he says, "Ho, every one of that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price." Jesus said, "Come unto me," right? "I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace." Then he says in verse 2, Isaiah 55, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? It has no substance. You're wasting money on things that have no substance, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me." This is to God's people, then and now. "And eat that which is good." Jesus is talking about his meat was to do the will of his Father which is in heaven. Listen, when we truly repent and we abandon our life in this world and get into the world of others, the world of the kingdom, outside of our own world, and go to serving others, that's when the joy, that's when the love, that's when the peace, that's when the fulfillment is going to happen, and never before. All of these trinkets that people chase, wasting their seed or their substance that God has given them. Speaking of the seed in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11, and God is going to multiply that in eternal dividends for sure. Then he says, "Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Wow, that's satisfaction, isn't it? Remember Mick Jagger, that demon-possessed wicked man who sang, "I can't get no satisfaction"? Well, that's the national anthem of everybody who's not saved and serving God presently. You're miserable, like the Laodiceans, right? Revelation 3, 14 through 22. They were poor, blind, miserable, and naked because they were running after trinkets instead of laying up treasure in glory. Verse 3, "Incline your ear," Isaiah 55, "and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live." It'll have life. It'll flourish. "And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David," etc. What a blessing. And that goes along with this passage that we're finishing here in John 4, 36, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages." Those that labor in the Great Commission are laying up treasure in heaven which cannot be diminished or lost. By the way, if you're really saved, you are participating in the Great Commission. If you're not, it's because you're not right with God and you need to repent. I don't care if anybody else is preaching that. That's what the Word of God reveals to us. And that's why only a few there be which enter in thereat, down the straight gate that leads to eternal life, Matthew 7, 13, and 14. "He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life." Are you gathering fruit unto eternal life? What a joy it should be. Psalm chapter 126, verses 5 and 6 says this, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth," he's got a heart for the lost, "bearing precious seed," that would be the Word of God. Jesus said the seed is the Word of God, "shall doubtless," in other words, with absolute certainty, "come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves," that means harvest, "with him." How many of us are going to be reaping great rewards unto everlasting life? And for all eternity, those dividends are going to bless you. When we get this revelation, we're going to throw down our plows and whatever we're using to garner more trinkets, wasteful things, and go to work for the Lord. And with reckless abandonment, we are going to begin to invest our lives and substance and time in His work. Everything else is a waste. Only that done for Christ will last. We should be always abounding in the work of the Lord. "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord," 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. I want you to memorize that. The last verse, especially in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And in the next chapter, speaking of the work of the Lord, you got to love this one right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, just a few verses later, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia's people, the first family saved in Achaia, a town, apparently, or a region. Notice this, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. What a blessing. That ye submit yourselves, he says now, unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Notice that those who labor and obey the Lord, as the parable of the talents teaches, are going to be made more responsible over more, as they're faithful with what they already have. But notice this household of Stephanas, who were saved. Quote, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. There's no greater addiction than to be enthralled and grounded and flourishing in the work of Christ. You're never going to be blessed and happy until you get lost in Christ. And when you get lost in Christ, not church or church attendance, when you get lost in Christ, you're going to roll up your sleeves and get lost in His work, and you're going to get addicted. Every addiction is not bad. Obviously, that wouldn't be, Paul wouldn't have used that type of language if it was. You got good and bad addictions. When you repent, you're going to lay an axe to the root and get rid of the things you're addicted to that are not of God, and they're going to send you to hell. So we can get addicted like the household of Stephanas in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. As we always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 15, 58 and 16, 15. I want you to get a hold of those and pour over them every morning this week. And remember where they are and email them and tell them that your friends and family in Christ on the phone and communicate to encourage them in the Lord. All right, so Jesus is speaking here in John 4, 34 through 38. And in 36, first he says that our will should be as his was, to do the will of his Father which has sent him. That's what every true disciple is doing. Everybody else is backslidden. That's been saved. Let me say that there are three ways that come to mind basically that you can participate in the work of God. Number one, we should all be at least passing out tracts, gospel tracts. Find the Jesus tract on safeguardyoursoul.com, by the way, and with one click, you'll download the PDF to your computer or device. You can then print off tracts in your own office or somebody else's printer, or you can email it to the local printer. The Minuteman Press is always quality and cheap. They're all over the United States, and you can have them print the tracts, whatever. So it's not hard. So we can all participate in the Great Commission by passing out tracts and leaving them where people can find them and read the gospel message and pray the prayer at the end to be saved. We can also all pray for those, as Jesus has said at the end of Matthew 9, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then pray for those laborers. The third thing, support them financially. That's how you're laying up treasure. They're doing you a favor.
They have answered the call of God.
They're out there laboring for the Lord and winning people and planting the seed of the Word of God. Listen, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. We, that's you and I, all members of the body of Christ, we are laborers together, another plural word, with God. We're laborers together with God. We get to be involved in God's work. There is no other work that has eternal significance like the work of the gospel. There's no other work in the earth, including when they have a world summit and all the world leaders meet, that is even remotely as important and eternally significant as the work of Christ. There is no more important work than the work of the eternal souls of mankind for whom Jesus came, died, was buried, and raised again from the dead. And he saved Catherine today and many others across the world, I'm sure. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. What kind of fruit are you, my friend, gathering unto eternal life? That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. What is he saying? He's saying what he says all over his word, that everybody who participates is going to be partaker in the blessing. Notice what we read here in the book of 1 Samuel. Just one little verse here. I love this. 1 Samuel 30, verse 24. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, in other words, the frontliners, he's given a wartime illustration here. So shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall partake alike. They're all going to be equally rewarded. So if you're praying for those that are sent and laboring in the word biblically for the Lord, and or if you're supporting, and also if you're handing out tracts and ministering to others, the gospel, all of those accounts, you're going to reap what you sow, and so am I. And we're all going to be rewarded alike. Somebody says, I want to do more. I want to send a little money where I'm praying for you, all of this stuff. Great. We can't function without you. I couldn't feed the people. We fed beautiful Mexican warm food they got for lunch today with cold water. They were appreciative beyond what I could explain to you today, hugging me and thanking me. And it wasn't that these people were so poor that they couldn't have bought their own lunch, but they're getting this picture of how good God is today when they're getting a delicious lunch paid for by the body of Christ. They're getting the gospel. One of them's getting saved. Need I say more as far as how much of a powerful impact that is on all of them? Incredible. So we're all going to part alike. I didn't make this up. I'm just reading it to you. 1 Samuel 30, 24. Everybody that participates in the work of Christ is going to part alike. If we ever get a revelation of what Jesus and how he incentivizes us to do his work and how he's going to eternally reward us, we're going to drop everything and run and do his will.
If we're not doing the will of God, we are out of the will of God. And Jesus taught that only those who do the word of God, which is the will of God, will be with him eternally. They prove that they love him supremely and truly trust him with saving faith. Matthew 7:21 and Matthew 12:50. Etc.
And that all begins with repentance. And if you read beginning in verse 1 of Isaiah 6, as we visited earlier, just a portion of it, you're going to see what led up to Isaiah saying, Lord, here I am, Lord, send me, use me, Lord. Are you willing to pray that today, beloved? God tells people where to go. If you want to pray, Lord, if you want me in Mexico, here I am. Send me. Wherever you want me, Lord, send me. I love you, Jesus. I want to be used by you. I want to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit as I abide in you on your stated terms, Lord. And as you spoke about in John 15, let me bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, quote unquote. And so Jesus said it, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. For both he that soweth and he that reapeth, both of them, he says, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. We're going to be dancing in heaven about this. We are going to be as sure as you're breathing and thanking God that he blessed us with his grace through Christ to realize while we were on earth the importance of helping others to be in glory. And herein is that saying true, Jesus finishes. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Like this lady Catherine. She knew a lot about the Lord because other people had told her. Somebody else, a bunch of other people probably labored. But then the harvest came today. We know that doesn't always happen, but that happened today by divine appointment. God did all kinds of stuff way beyond what man could have in mind and did have in mind. So as we close, saints, I just want to encourage you to consider and ask the Lord, how do you want me to pray, God? He'll lead you. I know it would be biblical for all of us to say, Lord, help me, use me, prepare me, send me. That's what Isaiah said. Send me. That means you're going somewhere else. The gospel adventure is just getting started. So also about Mexico, there's no way I could tell you enough good about Mexico. In Latin America, the people are absolutely exemplary. They're meek, humble, and sweet. They're savvy. They're amazing. And life's all about two things, and that's what I tell them here in Spanish. Primero es Dios. The first thing that's most important is God. Segundo es familia. E-R-N. Amigos, friends. First it's God, then it's people. That's what it's about. It's not about chasing trinkets. That's got to go. If you're going to follow Christ, you got to forsake it all. That's what he said. If you're not going to forsake it all, you cannot be his disciple. Notice Luke chapter 14, verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Has anybody been convicted by God to minimalize, to get rid of the junk you got in storage and you're wasting $100-something a month on? The less you have, less is more. The happier you're going to be. Can guarantee you that by experience. So Latin America, Mexico, nearly every child, every kid, every boy, every girl, in fact, all of them, not nearly, but all of them are meek, humble, obedient to their parents. They love their parents and respectful. It's an honor of their parents that they want to give to their parents. And if you look at a country's future, you're going to look at the family. Whatever the family unit looks like in that country, that's what the future looks like. And so, in my estimation, America is over. That's not doom and gloom, it's just an honest observation. Because the family unit has been completely ravaged for decade upon decade upon decade. And let me say this, when you cross the border into Mexico, you're going to get a big raise. One or two people could live here for $1,000 a month. I'm just giving you a few specifics here. And remember, how did our families get to America, no matter what your background is? Well, they left their homelands because of the government had messed up the finances and the economy, right? And all kinds of other bad stuff.
Such as gross overtaxation.
So this isn't anything new. This has happened throughout biblical history. We see it. People moving around. God sent Abraham away from the Chaldees, the land he was in, and end of Genesis 11, beginning of Genesis 12. That comes to mind. His dad was named Terah, T-E-R-A-H, and they were from Ur of the Chaldees. And then in chapter 12, he says, get thee out of thy country. Verse 1, the call of Abraham. Sounds a little bit parallel to Isaiah. Here I am, send me. That means he's going somewhere to do God's work. I tell you what, this ought to get us all excited. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, as we close, saints, get thee out of thy country. Some people are so affixed on their country. I'm born here. I'm going to die here. Well, you might die there by nukes if you stay in America. Somebody said the new American dream is to get out of America. You can see that the way you want it, but I think we've sown to the wind and we're going to reap. America is. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Go away from you, even your family. And by the way, you're not going to lose family and friends when you move out of the country. Your relationship with them is going to get even better because they're going to now miss you. While you're all around each other, they take you for granted.
And in some cases, talk badly about you behind your back.
We know how all that works. And I've heard other people say that. One guy said, my relationship has never been better with my family and friends now that I've moved out of the United States. Amazing. And from thy kindred, get thee out of thine country. This is nothing new. So if God is prompting you and preparing you to launch you out into a mission field, that's not something new. You see that all over the Bible. Get thee out of thy country, Abraham, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. That's your own family. And unto a land that I will show. He didn't even tell him what land it was. And maybe he's going to do that with you and not even tell you where you're going right away. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He was obedient. Here I am, send me, like Isaiah. And Lot went with him. And then it goes on. But notice the blessings that come when you leave and the fruitfulness that's going to result. And that you're going to be rewarded with for all eternity because you said, you know what? I'm done. I'm done playing church. I'm done doing all the talking and praying. I want to obey you, God. I release my life. Let's pray together right now as we close. I want you to pray this before the Lord. Heavenly Father, right now, say it out loud from your heart to the Lord. Heavenly Father, right now, this moment, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to break me and prepare me. And to use me for your eternal glory. Father, put me on your planet exactly where you want me. Order every one of my steps and help me to hear you as you lead me into the place you want me to be, to glorify you, to be fruitful, then bear more fruit and bear much fruit, as you said, Lord Jesus. And fill me with the Holy Ghost as you cleanse me and prepare me, Lord, to do your work and your will, even your great commission. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.